The image that is in the kids' bulletin, remember we print out the children bulletins. How do I describe it? I subscribe to a service that provides me children's bulletins for each Sunday. And we print them out for any kids that are at the service. They're online if you have kids or grandkids and you'd like to share with them a pictorial version of the gospel. Usually it's a gospel. Sometimes I pick the lesson or whatever. Anyway, that's also linked on our webpage here, so you can always go to it and print it out and give it to your kid or your grandkid so they can access the gospel in a more pictorial way. And there's games and activities and puzzles and stuff to solve it that are all tied into the gospel. Anyway, in the kids bulletin for this week, there's a picture of the hired hand running away from the wolf and the sheep scattering. And it's the face on the way that the hired hand's face looks is quite humorous. And then they got this big wolf loping along after them. Anyway, we have in the gospel today about Jesus being the good shepherd. And I often will think of the commercial for State Farm when I'm thinking about Jesus being like a good shepherd, because the jingle fits right in there. Like a good shepherd, Jesus will be there. Like a good neighbor, State Farm will be there. However, something like that. Anyway, so like a good shepherd, Jesus will be there. He is. He will be here for us. He loves us. And He'll just always be here for us. The group of adults going through the confirmation process and I had a wonderful session on Tuesday night. We were, amongst other things, talking about our favorite passages about Jesus, whether it was something that he did or a story about him or something he said or some trait of his, something in the gospel. And nobody mentioned the Good Shepherd passage, but we all talked about things about Jesus that lend into being the Good Shepherd. And one of those, one of the participants said that she really appreciated that Jesus will always be there for us. Like a good shepherd, he'll always be there. Like a good shepherd, he will always love us. Like a good shepherd, he will always serve us. Like a good shepherd, he will always welcome us. Like a good shepherd, he will lead us to green pastures, giving us hope, nourishment, promise. All of these things are the things that that group and I talked about on Tuesday night. I want to bring it back to mind, though, about how Jesus is here for us. Like a good shepherd, and how he loves us. He cares for us. So much so that he's willing to lay down his life for us. That exercise that I had you do at the beginning of the service, and if you didn't listen to that part of it, you can pause this and go to that video link or that audio link if you want to. But I was asking those people who did hear it to imagine themselves loving the world. Imagine themselves as Jesus and loving the world as Jesus loved the world. I want to draw that back to mind. He loves us. Imagine being loved by a love so deep that he laid down his life for us. Imagine being loved by a love so deep that he'll always be here for us unconditionally, mercifully, thankfully, joyfully. More love than any love that you can have or that anyone can have for you. Jesus has that for you. That's all fine and dandy. I don't mean to dismiss it. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's what keeps me going. But it's also one of the most challenging things, because I absolutely have to connect my actions to Jesus' actions. The way that Jesus loved me calls me to love others he asked us to do that in his teaching. He demonstrated it in his actions, how he loved the world around him. And remember, I asked you to imagine loving the world around you at the beginning of the service. That means that we're supposed to love the world around us. And that's challenging. It's difficult at times to love others. Now, we still need to keep doing it. In fact, as John wrote, that we need to love one another, not just in speech or in word, but in truth and in action. And if we're going to love the way Jesus loved, it means that we have to be willing to even lay down our lives for others. I try to be that way, but I'm not always that way. I mean, that's where we're at. Excuse me, microphone just fell off. That's where we're at, is that we are called to love, and though it's not easy, we still need to do it. Let's start with how it would be easy to love others. I think the easiest thing to do in love for others is to pray for them. You can pray for anybody. They don't even have to know you're praying for them. You see this person walking down the street, you could pray for them. You see that person who's struggling over there, you could pray for them. You could think about somebody, you can pray for them. You can see a picture on the news, you can pray. You can hear a siren and you can pray. I mean, praying for others is so easy. I guess praying for our enemies is more difficult. Praying for those who have hurt us is more difficult. But we can still pray for them. And even if it's that little action, which I don't think is all that little, that's loving them. Then the next step is reaching out to somebody. Or if they've reached out to us, to listen to them. To be present for somebody else. That can be difficult if we're tired or we become other-minded. Other-minded as in distracted. We really want to be other-minded as in be mindful of others, yes, but not be other-minded as distracted. So we want to be aware of others, and to do that we can listen to them. We can be present to them. We can be humble enough, as I talked about last week, to set aside our agendas to hear their agendas. Or like I read that little quote about what true love is meeting them where they are at, not where we think they should be at. Listening to what they say, not imagining what we think they should be saying. Helping them and not helping them just in the way we think they need to be helped, but hearing what way they need to be helped. And that's where it becomes much more difficult, is how do we help one another? John talks about how if somebody has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, then we have to help. Thomas Aquinas once wrote, he was pondering, and he said, if a person has two or three coats and another person has no coats, isn't the person with two or three coats obligated to give the person with no coat the coat? And he even goes on to wonder if the person with no coat were to steal a coat from a person's got two or three coats, is it really stealing? Is it really wrong? Because the person with two or three coats would be obligated, following the gospel, to give one of those coats up anyway. I don't think he resolved that question. I'd say it's still wrong. You should ask for permission to take one of those coats. Ask for one of those coats. But the person with two or three coats, if they're following the gospel, would give it out. It's kind of tough for me. I mean, at times, I wonder, I've got a four-bedroom house. Some people have four people living in a one-room house. I eat three meals a day and snack on candy in between. Some people would give anything to eat once every 3 days. What is my obligation to them? My obligation is to love them. And that goes without question. And the question is how do I show that love? I mean, in material ways. We each have to wrestle with that on our own, but we need to. We need to place ourselves in the mind and the heart of Jesus and see others in the way that he sees them. And then we need to adjust our lives accordingly. Basically, whether it's little ways or big ways, actions or in thoughts, we need to keep in mind other people. We need to keep them in our hearts, as we imagine Jesus keeping us in his heart, keeping us in his mind. He never said it was going to be easy. In fact, he loved us through the suffering and the pain and the cross. That wasn't easy. But that's the way he loved us. And he asks us to love. He asks us to love everyone. He asks us to love everyone all of the time. He asks us to love them all of the time in big and in small ways. We need to pray that we can answer that call, that ask of Jesus's. And then we have to figure out how that is. And then we have to have the strength to actually do that which we discover it to be. Let's pray for one another that we can be holy, that we can love as Jesus loved us. In action, in thought, in word, in truth, in big ways and in small ways, everyone all the time. Let's pray. Lord God, your Son has set a task before us. And though we are not sure that we are up to it, we desire to be. And we have to believe that our desire to do your will in and of itself is pleasing to you. Help us to believe that. But also help us to actually follow that will. Follow your request for us to love one another. And in doing so, we will show that we love you. And in doing so, we will be doing as you did for us, loving us. Your Son loved us to the point of death on the cross. He loved us through his resurrection. And you both love us to send us your Spirit. So send us your Spirit and give us the courage and the strength to be able to love one another. Father, we ask this through your Son, Jesus. The one who loved us as you have loved us, the one who saved us, who is our Easter joy and the reason that we keep going, the one who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. Amen. Our song after the sermon is about loving one another as God has loved us. It's by the Gaither Band. It's quite profound. It's a bit reflective, so sit back. Close your eyes. Imagine being Jesus and loving the world. And then imagine being yourself and love the world as Jesus loved you. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.